Colossians chapter 2. Now again, we started this a few weeks ago, and it's turned out to be a lot more than what I thought it was going to be, but that's okay, because you never run out of the word. Like somebody tells you, you know, go dig a hole. Well, how deep is a hole? Well, a hole is as deep as you dig it, and there's always more dirt in the hole, so there's always more word in the word. Hallelujah. And we're not going to go through verses 1 through 5 again. We're going to pick up in the real focus here, verses 6 through 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now, if you remember what we've covered so far, listen, we're going to review here just a little bit. And he says, you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. So what he's talking about here is salvation itself. You know, you're born again. You've received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then he goes on there in the next verse and starts talking about rooted and grounded, rooted and built up in Him. And that rooted, many times people will tell you, well, that's talking about you need to be born again. But it can't be saying that because the previous verse has already dealt with the issue that you are born again. So the word rooted is talking about the fact that now that you're born again, what you need to do is begin to draw life from Jesus. Your born again life, everything that you need to live in this world, you need to draw the life for that from Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And so as the branches, we need to draw that life from Jesus. But unlike a true vine and a branch, to where that branch has no choice, it just automatically draws that life from the vine itself, we have a choice. We don't have to look to Jesus as our source. We really don't. We can choose to look to other things and try to satisfy the other things and whatever our needs would be by our own efforts and whatever we can do. But he says here, you need to be rooted in Jesus, or in other words, you need to have Jesus Christ as the focus for everything that you draw from so you can sustain your life here. And in doing that, it's going to enable you to begin to build your life up in this world, because Jesus Christ is the foundation. No other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the foundation upon which that your life has been established. Now, as you draw life, choose to draw life from that foundation, from Jesus, then you begin to build yourself up on that foundation. You begin to build your life upon Him, and that takes you to the point of being established in the faith. Because that's where He wants you to head toward, is to be established in the faith. And so, being established in the faith is one of the focuses of the reason that we draw this life from Jesus. Now, there are four primary ways that we draw life from Jesus. And we covered this last week. And real briefly, let me mention those. The four primary ways that we draw life from Jesus. One is through the Word. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, my words are spirit and they are life. So you draw life from this Word right here. That's one way. Now, these four ways are not in ascending to descending order. It's just four ways. Like if you have four people getting ready to run a race and they're all on the starting block, they're all equal at the same place, the same starting point. So you can't say that one of these is more important than the other, because they work together, they coexist. And so we draw life from Jesus through the Word. And then also the second way is through prayer, but primarily praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues. And the reason that's so important, again, is because when you pray with the understanding, it's not going to be long before you've prayed out what you understand, and there's nothing left. And the reality is, you don't even know how to pray fully for yourself, because you don't know the beginning from the end in your own life. You don't know everything that God has in store for you. Now, you may know what your calling is, but you don't know all the circumstances that surround that calling from right now to the time that Jesus, to the trumpet sounds and the Lord calls you up in the air. So you don't know everything about you, and that's why your praying with the understanding is limited, and why the majority of your prayer time should be spent praying in tongues, because the Spirit prays the perfect will of God through you. And in fact, over in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, it says, "The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." And 1 Corinthians 14, 4 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." So the Spirit is giving life, and then as I pray in an unknown tongue, I'm edifying or building or strengthening myself up. And that's exactly what he was telling us back over there in Colossians, was that we need to be rooted, drawing that life, and building ourselves up so we can be established in the faith. And so praying in the Holy Ghost helps us to draw that life. It helps us to edify ourselves. In fact, again, over in Jude verse 20, it says, building up yourselves your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And so that leads us then to that point of drawing more life and being built up on Jesus and being established in the faith. And then the third thing that we covered is praise and worship. And David wrote over in Psalm 22, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." So as we begin to praise him, everything that he is exists within the realm of that praise, because if God inhabits the praises of his people, then everything that God is inhabits the praises of his people. And so forth. So therefore, through that praise, we begin to draw life from him. And the fourth way is through fasting. Remember over in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus and John and Peter and James come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And there's this crowd gathered. There's a man standing there. He says, "You've got to do something. You know, my kid's possessed by a demon. Your disciples tried. They couldn't cast him out." Jesus comes along, casts out the demon. The disciples pull him aside and say, "How come we couldn't do that?" And Jesus said, "Because of your unbelief." And then he says, "This kind cometh not out but by what? Prayer and fasting." And so if you're going to deal with the unbelief, then you're going to have to enter into a time of prayer and fasting. And where does the unbelief come from? The unbelief comes from you trusting something else more than you trust the Word of God. And basically that something else comes from the flesh. Or, in other words, the input of the five physical senses. And so as you begin to trust those five physical sense inputs, the things that you receive as stimulus in those five physical senses, you've got a choice to trust them or to trust the Word of God. Unbelief comes when you trust the input more than you trust the Word of God, see? And that is exactly why, you know, a lot of people don't tithe. It's because flat out they don't believe that God will supply their need. It's why they don't give. They just don't believe God will supply. They don't. It's unbelief. And if you don't tithe, you're a thief. You're a robber. In the eyes of God, I mean, you're basically like a scoundrel. And you can't get away. I mean, that's the Word of God. I'm not making this up. But it's unbelief that causes you not to tithe, because you think you can pay all of your bills and do everything that God's called you to do. You know how many ministers are going to stand before God never having accomplished what God has told them to do, and the reason they didn't is because of finances? That's it. A lot of them. And the reason a lot of you aren't doing what God's called you to do, it's because of money. It's not because you don't love the Lord. I mean, you do love the Lord, but it's because of money. If you had all the money that you could ever hope for, if you had a room full of money and a machine that just kept producing all that money, every time God said, "Go do something," you'd say, "No problem." You'd reach into the room and pull out the money and you'd go do it. God said, "Build a church." You'd pull out the money and go build a church. But see, the reason people can't do some of these things is because they don't have the money. Well, tithing is one way to obey God and begin to receive those blessings. But the reason people don't tithe is because they really don't believe God. If you trust God, if you say, "I believe God, I trust Him, oh, He's my source," all right, well, then you'll tithe and you'll give offerings. You know, bottom line, you will. But the reason they don't tithe is because they're trusting their senses, what they see in the paycheck, what they see in the checkbook, what they see in the bills. They're trusting those things more than they're trusting the Word of God, because Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the Word of God." So you've got to deal with this unbelief somehow. And Jesus tells us in His Word how to deal with unbelief. It's prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. If you've got a demonic stronghold in your life in the area of your finances, and you are tithing, and you are giving, then you know what you do? You need to begin to pray and fast to help you to deal with the unbelief that this thing's never going to break. Anybody ever thought that way before? Our struggles are never going to break. Why not? Is it because God's doing something to you? You're tithing and you're giving. All right, then that says there's a problem someplace else. Well, what do you think it is? I guarantee you one thing, there's a demonic stronghold at work in the area of your finances. And it's your unbelief that's causing it not to be broken. Because you see, you're not focusing on the demonic or the spiritual, you're focusing on the natural. If we could just get our bills paid off. Are you with me on this? See, Satan's sly, folks. He's not going to come knocking on your door saying, hey, it's me that's keeping your money from coming in, and then turn around and walk off. He's sneaky. Because he knows if he tells you what he's doing, you're going to say, aha, well, I know what to do. But no, see, he's sneaky. Well, the prayer and the fasting deals with the unbelief. And the unbelief comes from when you trust the input of the flesh more than you trust the Word of God. And then back over in Isaiah, let me get that right passage here for you. Isaiah chapter 58, I want to show this to you real quickly. He says, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? Now, you're talking about money. You can't give bread to somebody if you don't have any bread yourself. Amen? Well, he says, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him. And look at what he says here next. He says, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Or in other words, when you begin to fast, that fast is going to begin to bring to light to you the areas of your life where you are depending more upon the five sensory inputs or the flesh than you are the Word of God. Because see, there are probably areas in your life that you're trusting the flesh or the senses more than the Word of God, but you don't really know that. You think you're trusting God, but yet in reality you're not. Through this fast, it is you exercising dominance over the desires of the flesh. And the one thing, you take somebody that's hungry and they'll do just about anything to get food. Esau sold his birthright. Remember, I forget which king it was, but there was a famine in the land, and these two ladies went to the king and they said, hey, listen, the one lady said, you got to help me with this. And he says, what's the problem? And she said, well, you know, there's this famine in the land, and this other lady and myself, we made this bargain that one day we'd kill my child and eat it, and then the next day we'd kill her child and eat it. You remember that in the Old Testament? I don't recall where that is or what king. Listen, when you get somebody hungry enough, there are some people, they will do anything, even eat their own children. That's proven out in the Word of God. They'll give up everything for food. Some people will. And so he's saying, listen, through this fast, it helps you to identify those areas in your life where you're trusting the flesh more than you are trusting the Word of God. So those are the four areas where you draw life the most from the Lord, the four primary areas. And you know, as well as you're sitting there, how hard Satan fights you in those areas. Now think about it. He fights you hard when you want to get into the Word and start to study and read and meditate on the Word. He fights you so hard when it comes to you wanting to begin to pray, especially to pray in tongues. Oh, that's really not the Holy Spirit. That's just you making that stuff up. It's not really God. Every one of you in here have been there like that at some point in time. Now you know you have. He'll fight you so hard in that. He'll fight you in the area of praise and worship. You look so stupid with your hands raised, clapping in church, and don't you dare start doing that kind of dance and stuff. They'll probably kick you out. You look dumb doing that anyhow. All of those things. You've been there. And he fights you really hard when it comes to fasting. I mean, he really fights you hard when it comes to fasting. You know why that is? It's because he knows when you begin to fast, it begins to reveal more of his strongholds in your life. See? And he'll fight you super hard on that. The only other thing that he seems to fight as hard on, or almost as hard, is that area of tithing. But again, that tithing is connected into that unbelief, because if you really believe, you know, you tithe and you give. Those four areas. Now, in those four areas, three of those you can do just about all the time. The praying, the praise and the worship, and the fasting. You can do those almost all the time. You can do those a lot of the times. It's kind of hard to read your Bible while you're driving down the road, isn't it? Really difficult. But those other three you can do just about, you know, all the time. Out of those three, two you can do almost all the time. You cannot fast all the time. Because if you fast all the time, then guess what? You will die. Your body will say, hey, I've had enough of this. I quit. And then you just go on to be with the Lord. And then we have your funeral. And then after your funeral, we go eat fried chicken and mashed potatoes that you wouldn't eat. So two of them you can do almost all of the time. praying, and praise and worship. One of them you can do all the time. Praise and worship. See, when you're in the dentist chair, it's kind of hard to pray in tongues, isn't it? It's tough. You can't really do that. Drills and all these other things in your mouth going on. But you know what you can do? On the inside, you can begin praising and worshiping the Lord. You can begin to sing to Him on the inside. You can begin to have that kind of fellowship with Him on the inside. Praise and worship is one thing that you can do all the time. Let's face it, it's not very easy. It's not very conducive when you're sitting in a class that's excessively boring to start praying in tongues. The teacher might not like that too well. But you can sit there and say, oh, glory to God, this is going to be over soon. Hallelujah, Jesus, I'm free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. See, on the inside, you begin to praise and you can begin to fellowship with the Lord. When you're at work, it's hard sometimes to like in a meeting or something, to begin to pray in the Spirit. But you can praise and worship God on the inside. You can begin to have fellowship, your Spirit and His Spirit. The two of you together, you can begin to have a communion, a time of fellowship together. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up, it's because last Sunday, from the moment, I mean, you know me, when it's service time, the music starts. You know, I do not dawdle around. You know, I feel like that, you know, when we tell people that, you know, 10:30 is service time, you start your service at 10:30. If you're late, well, that's your fault. When Sunday school, 9:30, that buzzer rings. It's time for Sunday school. That's just the way it is. You know, I show diligence unto the Lord, you know, and that, I'm going to tell you what, that's one of the first things God will examine in your life, is your diligence to be faithful to the small things. You know, if you're always late to work, late to school, late to church, late to Sunday school, late to this, late to that, late to the, hey, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, God will never, ever, 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 ever use you in a place of responsibility when it comes to ministry. Write it down. It is of the Lord. He will not do it because He cannot trust you. All right? So, that's one of the small things you can begin to examine in your life. But the moment last week that the service started, there was a spirit of heaviness, an oppressive work taking place in here. I sensed it from the word go. It went through the entire service. I felt it. I don't know if anybody else did or not, but I felt it. It was almost the moment 10:30 hit and the music started, I felt it. You say, well, why didn't you say anything? There was a reason. There was a reason that I didn't say anything. But I'm saying something this week. Because you see, this area of praise and worship, out of all of those four areas, praise and worship seems to be the one that will deal with the emotions more than anything else. We learned last week, and we've learned in the past, how that through praise and worship, we can get a revelation of the truth of God's Word. Remember where it says that thou hast ordained strength out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, ordained strength, and Jesus quotes it, ordained praise. And it says that you might still the avenger. And what that's talking about is the enemy and the avenger, still the enemy and the avenger. That word still means to hush up or to make quiet, and that word avenger is somebody who breathes forth forcibly. Well, you know the enemy is the devil, and what's he going to breathe forth forcibly into your life? It's going to be lies, because he's the father of lies. He's not going to tell you the truth. And so one of the ways that you silence those lies to receive a revelation of God's truth is through praise and worship. But now another thing that praise and worship will do is deal with the area of your emotions. And I want to go through the Word here and show you some things, because you see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. But the problem is this. If your emotions are in turmoil, you can almost, I mean, it's almost impossible to walk by faith when your emotions are all torn up on the inside. And there are many of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you're angry, when you're hurt, when you're upset, when you're crying and you're depressed, you're oppressed, you're this, you're that, you're all of those emotions that on the inside you feel like you're torn up on the inside there. I'm going to tell you what, those emotions throw up a clatter that prevents you from hearing the voice of God to tell you this is the way, walk ye in it. And so when your emotions get all worked up on the inside and you're emotionally distraught, It is almost impossible to walk by faith. And so then you begin to walk by the determination of your senses. Or in other words, you're so worked up on the inside, you're not really sure what to do. So at that time, in that point, at that point of mental confusion, you will begin to do what you think is the best thing to do. And the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof is what? Destruction. See? And so your emotions are very vital in your life. You can never separate yourself from your emotions. Some people are more emotional than other people. That's just the way it is. Some people, they cry at every service, and it's not fake. Some fake it. We know that. Some, you know, they'll fall on the floor. I remember, can I tell you a story? This is so funny. There was a fellow that was pastoring a church, talking about falling on the floor. You know, some people, it's like every time you pray for them, boom, down they go. There was a guy that was pastoring a church, and they had a prayer line. And this lady came up, and he laid hands on her. Well, he laid hands on her, and she fell. He'd never seen that before. He thought the woman had died. And so he jumps down and he said, "Come out, you spirit of death! Come out, you spirit of death! Rise! Rise and be healed!" And so he's going wild, and everybody else is just standing there watching him do that. He's trying to raise this lady from the dead. And so he reaches down and he picks her up. And, you know, she's like a limp dish rag. He's dragging her around the church. "You'll live and not die. Nobody's going to die my first day at this church." It was his first day pastoring that church. And he didn't know what was going on. Finally, you know, he's slapping her in the face, and she kind of comes around. And he goes, "Glory! We raise the dead, church! We raise the dead!" And he was the only one excited. He couldn't figure out why nobody else in the church was getting worked up over this. Well, after the service, somebody stopped by him and said, "Pastor, that's Sister Jones. She does it every time somebody prays for her." And there's somebody that every time you pray for them, they flop down. Sometimes it's fake. Sometimes it's the real thing. That's why I've never asked for catchers, because I figure if God wants to lay you down, God will lay you down. He won't pick you up and smash your head on a pew. I mean, if they want to catch, they can catch. That's, you know, up to people. But I've never asked for that. And those of you that have been up here in the prayer lines, and you know, when I lay hands, I lay hands. I do not, you know, try to, you know, turn your neck back over behind you or something. I don't do that. I lay hands on you. But anyhow, when you begin to praise the Lord, the emotions are affected. If Satan can affect your emotions, he can affect your faith walk. If he can keep you in turmoil on the inside, he can mess your whole life up. If he can keep you confused, he can keep you in a state of constant worry. Turn over to Romans chapter 7. I want you to see something in this. Romans chapter 7. Verse 14. Paul says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Now listen to this discourse. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, then, it is no more I that do it, but sin dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, where? In my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Now, here's what he's saying. In essence, he's saying, look, I've got things here that I don't want to do, and I say I'm not going to do, but yet I end up doing these things, and I've got other things that I say I'm going to do that I know God would have me do, but the problem is I don't do those things. And he says, listen to this. "I know that in me there's no good thing that dwelling in me, that it's sin that's dwelling in me that's resulting in me doing this kind of stuff." And he says, "But you know what? The good that I do, I don't do. The will to do those things is in me. The will to make those choices and obey God is in me. The problem is, I don't know how to do it. The problem is, I don't know how to deal with this. The problem is, I don't know what to do and how to handle it." He says, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, If I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now he goes on to say, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. What he's saying in this is, my born-again spirit, the real me, delights after the law of God. I want to do the will of God. I want to follow God in everything I do. And whenever we have testimony time, and you've been in churches where people stand up and say, I love the Lord with all my heart. And you're thinking, yeah, right, sure you do, because I know what's going on, you know, behind the church doors or outside the church doors. I know what your life is like. Well, the truth of the matter is, they may be telling the truth. I mean, some people you wonder if they're telling the truth or not. But sometimes people really are telling the truth. I love the Lord. It's like what Paul was saying here. He says, I love the Lord with all my heart. I love Him so much. He's been so good to me. And just pray for me all that I make it through. You know, those kind of testimonies. Well, see, it's kind of like what Paul was saying here. He says, listen, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But look at this next verse. He says, but I see another law in my what? My members. What's that? His flesh. And so he's saying, there's a law after the inward man, the law of God that I delight in, but there's something else you need to be aware of, folks. There's another law in my members. What is that law doing? Warring against the law of my mind. And what does that do? Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Or in other words, what he's saying is this. On the inside, I want to do the will of God. I want to do everything that He tells me to do. I want to be fully obedient to God. But on the outside, my flesh is still receiving the five sensory inputs. And those five sensory inputs are sometimes trying to tell me to do something that I know God doesn't want me to do. And so here's what the result is. Inwardly, I love the Lord and I want to serve Him. I want to do everything for Him. Outwardly, my flesh is wanting to respond to all of this other stuff. And the result is the inward and the outward are fighting a war. And the war is taking place in my mind. And because of that, I'm all torn up. My emotions are in a wreck. How do you know that? Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Has anybody ever felt like that? Sure you have. Why is that? It's because there's a law of sin that still affects your flesh. Your flesh hasn't been redeemed yet, folks. I hope you understand that. Your flesh has not yet been redeemed. The inward man has been. Jesus paid the price, and now you're born again. But the outward man has not yet been redeemed. How do you know that? Because that flesh is still subject to the law of death, because death is the last enemy to be placed under the feet of Jesus. Remember that? It's in the Word. And so he says, outwardly, there are all of these struggles, all of these things that are facing me, and I want to give in to some of them. But inwardly, I know I shouldn't. And the result is, in my mind, there's this constant struggle. There's this constant turmoil. And my emotions, they're just ripped to shreds. But now look what he says next. Look how he deals with it. I thank God. Hallelujah. He begins to praise the Lord. He says, yeah, there's an outside that's coming against me. There's an inside that wants to do the will of God. And there's a war that's taking place in my mind. Oh, wretched man that I am, how am I going to deal with this? Somebody help me. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to worship the Lord. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he's just described all of these problems and all of this turmoil. He's just described all of these inner struggles that he has. Then he begins to praise the Lord. And look what happens. He says, so then, now that I've praised God, now that I've worshiped Him, so then with the mind, or in other words, that place where that war was taking place, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but my flesh is still subject to the effects of sin in this world. And if the Lord doesn't call me up, the flesh will die. And we know that happened with Paul. He says, I've got this inner struggle, my mind, all of my emotions, they're a mess. But you see, I thank God. I thank God. Oh, I thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ. And because I've begun to praise Him and worship Him, guess what? I win the war in my mind. And now with my mind and my inner man, I will serve God. I will serve God. See, he began to praise and worship. God has not given us the spirit of fear. But he's given us what? A spirit of love. He's given us a spirit of power and a spirit of sound mind. God is not the author of what? Confusion. See? That's dealing with your emotions. And if you don't get your emotions in check, you'll not be able to successfully walk by faith. And he says this praise and worship is going to enable you to do that. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. How many of you know that joy is a type of emotion? You know that, right? That means God has emotions. The joy of the Lord. Now, if the joy of the Lord is my strength, I need to find out how to get joy into me. I need to know how to become a partaker of that joy. I need to know how that joy is going to begin to strengthen me. How do I get it? Okay, if the joy of the Lord is my strength, then I need to find out what I have to do to have that joy rise up on the inside of me. Turn over to Nehemiah. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. God will never leave you hanging, folks. The answer is always in the Word. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 19, he says, "The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." He says right there at the very beginning, "The meek shall increase their joy in the Lord." That word meek comes from an original Hebrew word, root word that means to announce, to testify, to sing, and to shout. And so if we use that original root word in this, it would say those that testify, announce, sing, and shout are going to what? Increase. They will increase their joy in the Lord. Or to simplify it, those that praise and worship will increase their joy in the Lord. Amen. And then look what happens. He says, "The poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel." And so if you want to increase the joy that you have, or cause that joy to increase in measure in you, he's saying, listen, you need to praise and worship the Lord. You need to begin to shout and sing unto Him. You need to begin to testify unto Him. Lord, You've saved me and I thank You. Lord, You set my feet upon a solid rock and I praise You for that. Lord, Lord, by Your stripes You healed me and I thank You for that. You begin to testify. But what if nobody's around to hear me? God will hear you, and there's somebody else who will hear you, the enemy of your soul. He will hear you praise and worship the Lord. And he says, as you begin to praise and worship the Lord, you will begin to increase the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now turn over to Psalm chapter 16. Praise you, Jesus. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, he says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Oftentimes, we associate that word pleasures with material things and finances, and it's not wrong, because in part that's what that word is referring to. But how many times have you heard people say, "If I could just get peace of mind, I would give anything for peace of mind. I would give anything if I could just be happy again." And there are some people, they struggle so much inwardly with those roller coaster emotions, they just want a balance in their life. To them, that would be the greatest pleasure that they could possibly have. And here he says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." There are some people, they need the life of God in their emotions. There are some people that are having such a rough time emotionally, they need that area of their life to be touched by the life of God. And then he goes on to tell you, if you'll notice, thou wilt show me the path of life. Do you see that colon right after the word life? Well, he's going to tell you how this is accomplished. He says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Okay, if I'm going to know the paths of life, and if I'm going to have pleasures forevermore, because in thy presence is fullness of joy, then I need to find out how to get into your presence. And listen to what he says in Psalm chapter 100, verse 2 and 95, verse 2. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. And so he says, you want to get into the presence of the Lord where there's joy forevermore and where there's fullness of joy, then you need to come into his presence. How? With singing, with thanksgiving, and singing psalms unto him. And the reason that is so important that he's put that in there is because after a while, you begin to praise the Lord like this. You're singing, oh, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I worship you. I praise you, oh, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. And pretty soon, you begin to run out of words. And pretty soon, you feel like you've been repeating yourself over and over again for about 20 minutes. And you start to think, isn't there anything else I can say? And he says, yes, I told you right here in my word, make a joyful noise unto me with psalms. So you open up your songbook and you begin to sing, oh, God, in you do I put my trust. My soul has said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Oh, your goodness extendeth unto me forever and ever. Oh, Lord, you are the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. You maintain my lot. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. Oh, Lord, I have set you always before me. You are at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. I sing unto you, O God. Oh, I praise you, Lord. And you begin to sing unto him the very songs that he has given you. And you begin to worship him. And you begin to praise him. And you begin to enter into his presence. And it's in his presence that you begin to experience the fullness of his joy. And that joy begins to rise up and be built up on the inside of you. And you begin to experience that strength. And you say, yes, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. I praise you. Oh, I glorify you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is why that these things were put into your hand. It's because it's the Word of God, the songs of God that you're supposed to be using. If you don't use them here, you should be using these at home. And you can open and you can just say, oh, hallelujah. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Oh, the enemy of depression has no authority. The enemy of oppression has no authority. The enemy of doubt, I'm saved from mine enemies. Hallelujah. I'm saved from mine enemies. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know what you ought to do? You ought to do what I did. Go through your Bible. And wherever you see those songs of praise, highlight them. Just highlight them. So that you can just open your Bible and say, hey, there's some yellow or pink or green or whatever you use. And just start singing it. Just start singing it. Just start singing it. And it says, where it says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. You know what you say? You turn that right around. And you say, oh Lord, you are my rock, you are my fortress. Oh Lord, you are my deliverer. You are my God. You are my strength. In you I put my trust. You are my buckler. You are the horn of my salvation. You are my high tower. I call upon you, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. And I am saved from my enemies. Hallelujah, Lord. See, you begin to put that in your own words. He's given you the songs to sing. Hallelujah. He says, make that joyful noise unto me with psalms. He says, I don't care if you can stay on pitch. You don't have to be a Sandy Patty or a Larnell Harris. Just sing. Just praise and enter into my presence and receive the fullness of my joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He says in Isaiah 30:29, "Ye shall have a song, as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart." You'll have gladness of heart. First you're going to have the song, then you're going to have gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, the mighty one of Israel. Now when he says goeth with a pipe, you know he's not talking about a meerschaum, right? he's not talking about one of those Dr. Grabos or whatever it's called. No, he's talking about a kind of pipe that you would play. And he says, listen, you've got the song. Use that song. You begin to sing that song. And guess what? You begin to have gladness of heart. You begin to experience the gladness of heart. Isaiah 65:14 says, "Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart." If you want joy of heart, start singing, start praising, start worshiping Him, start giving Him glory, start going through the Psalms, go back over there, Miriam's song, when they crossed over the Red Sea, remember Miriam and all those ladies, and "I will sing unto the Lord," and "the horse and the rider into the sea," you know, go through and sing that, make that your song. The horse and the rider represents the enemy. You can say the horse and the rider of sickness and death and destruction and turmoil in my family has been cast into the sea. Oh, Jesus, I praise you. Begin to sing these songs. And he says, listen, if you want gladness of heart, sing, sing, praise me, worship me, and receive the fullness of my joy, because it will strengthen you. But now listen, he goes on. He says, in Ephesians 3:16 and 1 Corinthians 14:15, listen to this. "That He, God, would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man." What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. You know what? When you begin to praise God, you begin to sing to Him. That's what some of us were doing here this morning. Singing with the understanding and singing with the Spirit. And you begin to enter into that time of praise and worship, because when you begin to sing in the Spirit, that is one way that the Holy Spirit begins to release into your inner man the strength of the Lord. And what is the strength of the Lord? The joy of the Lord is your strength. And so as you begin to sing in the Spirit, one of the benefits is you're drawing life from the Holy Spirit into your inner man, and your emotions begin to be changed. You begin to sing out of the Word of God, and you begin to sing, "Lord, I praise You and I worship You and I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for the blood. And oh Lord, Thou wilt light my candle. And oh Lord, You will enlighten my darkness. For by You I've run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. Oh God, Your way is perfect. Your word is tried. You are a buckler to me because I trust You." And you begin to praise the Lord and you begin to worship the Lord. Let me tell you what, when you sing in the Spirit, you can never sing anything amiss. When you sing in the Spirit, you can never sing anything wrong. When you sing in the Spirit, you are singing perfect praise, perfect worship, perfect understanding, perfect knowledge unto God. That's why Satan fights singing in the Spirit so hard and praying in the Spirit, because he doesn't want churches to have the anointing. He doesn't want people to flow in the Spirit. He wants to keep people locked up. That's why he'll send somebody along and tell you that there's nothing in God's Word to substantiate a congregation to pray in tongues or to sing in tongues. It's a work of the enemy to keep you in bondage, and God has given you this gift to get you out of bondage. Use it. Hallelujah. Praise Him and glorify Him. Give Him praise. The reason some of you don't sing in the Spirit when we praise and worship in here is because you're afraid. You're chicken. You're afraid somebody's going to think you're weird. And the reason you're afraid is because nobody has ever told you that you can do it. Nobody's ever explained to you that it's biblical. Nobody's ever told you it's the Word of God. They've told you it's not. And they've told you that unless you're emotional and you got goosebumps or you've got tears, that you can't do it. Folks, if you've got to rely on tears, bring a hammer to church and hit yourself a few times. Get the tears to flow, and so you can praise God in the Spirit. Break out of your shell. Don't let Satan use a liar, or don't let Satan lie through somebody. That's a better way to put it. Don't let Satan lie through somebody to keep you from entering into the joy and the anointing of Almighty God. Don't. Don't. Sing with the understanding. Sing with the Spirit. Yeah, but I don't feel like praising God. Been a rough week, Pastor. Oh, you just don't understand. My cat ran away from home, and my wife and my kids don't understand me, and the boss doesn't like me, and oh, nothing's going right, Pastor. I just don't feel like praising God. Am I the only one that's ever been like that? I am. Oh, we're going to open this altar for repentance for lying. You've all been there. You've all been there. But guess what? So was David. Listen to what he said. Psalm 42, verses 5 and 11. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Your soul's where your emotions are. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou." I mean, he's talking to himself. You know, psychologists tell you you're weird if you do that. And now here's a writer of the songs and hymns and all to the Lord. He's talking to himself. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I..." Who's he talking about now? He's talking about his spirit, man. He's saying, listen, I'm not going to worry about you emotions. I mean, you guys want to get all messed up? That's your choice. But I'm going to change things around here because I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. He's the help of your countenance, and he is the health of your countenance. You can tell just by looking at somebody if they're going through a rough time emotionally. It just comes out. It shows up on their face. And David says, listen, I'm going to praise God because he's the one that's going to help my countenance. He's the one that is the health of my countenance. And as I begin to praise him and worship him, I know my soul is not going to have any choice. It will not stay disquieted within me. It will change. My soul is going to begin to rejoice because the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I enter into his presence with singing and thanksgiving because in his presence is fullness of joy forevermore. So don't you think that just because you don't feel like it, you shouldn't be praising God? I know you don't feel like it, and that's exactly why you ought to be praising God, is because you don't feel like it. And if you begin praising him, it might take 5 minutes. It might take 10, it might take 15, it might take a half an hour, it might take you an hour, it might take you all day. But church, I'm telling you now, if you'll praise God and praise him and sing and shout and give him thanksgiving and worship him and sing in the Spirit, sing with the understanding, if you'll do that, it's just a matter of time before your emotions give in, and they give in to the power of the joy of the Lord, and you begin to be changed, and you feel it on the inside, and you forget about all those problems. You forget about why you were depressed, and you almost feel ashamed because you were so upset and down in the mouth like that. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn over to Isaiah 61. Verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." Why is he doing all this? "That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." He's saying, listen, if you've got heaviness, if there is a spirit of heaviness that's working against you, I've given you the garment of praise. The garment of praise, it's like a spiritual raincoat. Because when you take that garment of praise and you put it on and you begin to praise and worship the Lord, I love you, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. Oh, you are the health of my countenance, Lord. I worship you. Then all of that heavy rain of depression and heaviness and oppression won't be able to saturate your emotions because you've got the garment of praise on, and those things can't get past that garment of praise. And you just begin to worship Him. And no longer are you going to be experiencing that mourning or that heaviness. Why? Because you've got the garment of praise. You put on the garment of praise. You put it on. You have to put it on. You have to do it. It's part of what David was talking about, the sacrifice of praise. When you don't feel like praising, you make it a sacrifice. And I'm going to praise Him though I don't feel like it. When you're going through this tough time, you force yourself to put on that garment of praise to get rid of that spirit of heaviness. And listen to what he says. In Isaiah, you don't have to turn to this. Isaiah 40:31, he says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." That word wait, it doesn't mean you kick back in the lazy boy and say, "Well, I'm waiting on God." That word wait, it actually has a connotation of offering service unto the Lord. Like a person in a restaurant, a waiter would come to serve you and wait on you. He's talking about those that wait on the Lord or offer service unto Him. How can you offer service unto the Lord? One of the ways the Bible tells us that we can offer service unto God is what? To praise Him and to worship Him and begin to sing those praises and to glorify Him and to give Him thanksgiving. And he says, those that begin to, if you wait on the Lord, if you praise Him and you worship Him and you glorify Him and you begin to sing His praises, then guess what? You're going to renew your strength. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength, and in His presence is fullness of joy, and you get into His presence by singing and praising Him. And then he goes on to say, not only are you going to renew your strength, but he says you're going to do what? Mount up with wings as eagles. Now, in our mind, we've got these little feathers. That's not what he's talking about. Do you remember when John baptized Jesus? And he put Jesus down in the water and he brought him up. And John said, "I saw the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus, but it was like a dove." What was he saying? That the Holy Spirit is a bird? No. What he was saying was this. "I saw the heavens opened, and I saw the Holy Spirit of God come down. And as He was descending down upon Jesus, the glory of God was radiating out from Him. And the only way I can describe it, it was kind of like feathers. It looked like wings of glory that were coming out of Him. And He descended down upon Jesus and enveloped Him and wrapped Himself up in Jesus. And it was brilliant white, like a dove. And it looked like wings because it was the glory." When you begin to praise and worship God, guess what? You renew your strength and you begin to sprout those wings of glory. You mount up with wings of eagle. Glory wings begin to come out of you. Why? Because you're entering into the presence of God. You're entering into that glory. You're entering into that anointing. And as you begin to praise Him, "Oh Jesus, I worship You. I praise You, O Lord. I give You glory. You're the rock of my salvation, Lord. I love You. Praise You, O Lord." And pretty soon, guess what? That joy begins to rise up. That anointing begins to rise up. And those wings of glory begin to sprout out from you. And when those wings of glory begin to sprout out, guess what? They begin to carry you up above all of those problems that were trying to cause that depression, all of that turmoil, all of that junk. And you begin to soar above all of those problems, and you look down on them, and you know in your heart that Jesus has the answer. You know in your heart that the answer is within Jesus. You know in your heart that He's going to provide, and you're not worried about that stuff anymore. Instead, oh, you're just experiencing the presence of His glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, I worship You, Lord. I know those problems are down there, but I'm soaring on Your glory.
glory. I'm sailing on your glory. All the wings of the anointing are carrying me above these problems. And in the name of Jesus, it's over. In the name of Jesus, these things are settled. In the name of Jesus, I can conquer all things that come against me, for He has made me more than a conqueror. In the name of Jesus, I am the overcomer. Oh, I praise you, Lord. And you begin to soar on those wings of glory. And guess what? It's not long before those problems that were down there are no longer down there, because the glory that's been coming out of you has been released on those problems and they're settled. Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! Stand up and praise Him. Stand up and praise Him. Oh, we worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We praise You, Lord. We give You glory, O God. We give You glory, O God. We praise Your holy name. Praise You, Lord. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me. It is He that subdueth people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, O Lord, You lift me up above those. You lift me up against those that rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord. Among the heathen I will praise You. Among the heathen I will sing praises unto You. For You have girded me with strength. Oh, You have given me victory in the midst of the battle. You have subdued those under me. Hallelujah. You have delivered me, O Lord. You have delivered me from the strivings of the people. You have made me the head of the heathen. You have made those to serve me that I don't even know. You light my candle with Your anointing, O Lord. It is through You I've run through a troop. By You, my God, I have leaped over a wall. Oh, God, Your way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is my buckler. Oh, Lord, I trust in You. I bless You. It is You, O God, that girds me with strength. It is You, O God, that makes my way perfect. It is You, O God, that makes my feet like hinds' feet. It is You, O God, that setteth me upon my high places. It is You, O God, that teacheth my hands to war. It is You, O God, that has given me the shield of Thy salvation. It is You, O God, that has given me strength with Your right hand. It is You, O God, that holds me up. It is You, O God, that has made me great. Oh, I praise You. Oh, I praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Bless You, Lord. Bless You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're drawing life. You're drawing life from Him. You're drawing life from Him. Every one of you right now, every one of you that's been praising the Lord, you've been drawing life from Him. You have been drawing strength from Him. His joy is rising up and building up. I know it is, because it's the Word of God. Amen. It may not be any higher than your ankles, but at least it made it from your toes to your ankles. And if you keep doing it, it's going to hit your knees. It'll hit your hips. It'll make it all the way up to your nose and beyond. It will. Because see, once it rises up to your throat and your mouth, then it's just flowing out of you and you're not forcing it. You say, is it wrong to force it? No. Why art thou disquieted within me? Soul, why are you messed up? Emotions, why are you twisted? Why are you all ate up? No, I'm going to tell you what, soul. I'm going to tell you what, emotions. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to force myself to do it, though I don't feel like it. And that joy and that strength begins to rise up. It begins to rise up. It'll hit a point. Listen to me.
It'll hit a point to where it starts flowing out of you. And you know you're not forcing it anymore. It begins flowing out of you because it's God. It's that anointing, that glory that's rising up on the inside of you. And you know what? You may not want to stop. You may not want to stop because it will be so wonderful.
Amen.
It'll be so wonderful. When you come in here and you don't feel like it, and that music starts, you jump in with both feet.
Amen.
Before that music starts, just stand up and start praising Him. Just start praising Him. Because all the people that are here are going to know what you're doing. And if they're smart, they'll join you. And the music starts, and you get into it a little more. And when the music stops, don't you stop just because the music stopped. You keep going, you keep going, you keep going. Because God inhabits the praises of His people. Folks, you can turn your emotions completely around through praise and worship.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.